This is Will's Band of the Week for December 9th, 2018. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett live in studio.
Hello.
And Chris live in studio.
Hey, who's this guy here?
We're not sure who he is, but he did make his way. He only got in because he brought a bottle of Aberlour 12-year double cask matured Highland Scotch whiskey.
I don't like that immature whiskey.
No. Yeah.
Double cask. If you only have one cask, that's one cask too few.
Right.
Do people even drink stuff with only one cask?
Boy, I don't know. Yeah, I usually demand the double.
That's weird. Yeah.
So that's how Chris got in. We decided to let him in. Now we're going to have to see if his performance tonight justifies,
I'm like kind of I'm a founding member, though, so I always get to
you are.
To slide back in, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes
so
that's how it works.
You've been in, but you've been on probation back and forth. you've been kind of kicked off and let back on several times. That happens in the, behind the scenes at the management meetings.
I made no inquiries.
You never come to the management meetings, so you wouldn't know. but that, because you're not invited, though, either, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So there was that one time where we were going to talk to him about it, but then, yeah.
So I said, welcome to another edition, but it's not just another edition.
No.
I mean, the internet is abuzz tonight, right? They should be if they're not.
It should, yeah.
Are people parked outside the house right now looking,
probably
waiting for us?
I would think
so.
Well,
I kept the location and the timing a secret to try to avoid that type of thing.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
TMZ, I'm sure, is outside waiting for us to.
The other thing is, because it is such a special episode, it's going to take a long time. So hopefully you're not expecting to be able to listen to this on your lunch break or.
Right,
you're gonna get yelled at if you listen to the whole thing and then go back to work.
I have gotten in the habit of listening to really long podcasts now. Like I'll sit down and listen to a two or three hour podcast, which I think means I probably have too much time on my hands.
It sounds
all in
like
one
it.
Sitting, huh?
That is.
Sometimes I'll break it up, but
yeah,
that's that basically becomes an audiobook at some point,
right?
Not a podcast.
Hey Barrett, remember that sign we used to have? It was like. Podcast in session. It was kind of this broken piece of paper.
It's ripped.
I just noticed it's gone. I don't know what happened to it.
Oh man,
we need some more memorabilia.
Where could it
in
have
here.
Gone?
I don't know. I just noticed because I remember how
your
cool
family
it was.
Have been cleaning up and thought, oh, that's somebody taped
maybe,
some garbage on the door.
Maybe the tape gave way and then it just fell and then I don't know.
Is there a picture of it so we can recreate it?
There is a picture somewhere.
It's also a big night because there might be another first. Has anyone ever plugged something on the podcast before?
No, nobody ever has. You never have, I'm sure, Chris.
Well, it's good you said that.
Chris is going to plug something.
It's good you said that now and not 5 minutes from now.
Right.
So I wrote a book.
Yeah, he did.
I did.
I'm even looking at it.
I'm holding it in my hand right now.
It's called... The Best in Indie Rock, something like that.
It's,
no,
it's a Behind the Music on the Will's Band of the Week podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you not in America, I'm a huge celebrity here.
Yeah, totally.
So I write books and do things like that. But no, I wrote a book. It's called 1916, The Blog, and it's about kind of what the internet would look like if it existed 100 years ago.
Do you mention the podcast didn't? And how they would react to our podcast back then?
I think there might be like a veiled reference to podcasts in there at some point to recordings. They used to have Victrola parties where people would go and just listen to a record, like sit around in a room and listen to a record,
like one of those 78s with that speaker thing coming out from the turntable.
Yes, they would all just go down, sit down, and this was like a thing that rich people did.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting thing I found. In 1916, they used to write songs about news of the day. So something would happen in the news, somebody would write a song about it, and then go outside, like a drugstore, and sing the song that they wrote. to try to get people to come into the drugstore. And so you had like a new song every day just based on whatever the news of the day was. So I think that like the number one hit of like May 2nd of 1916 was Three Die in a Barn Fire or something like that.
Yeah, well that's yeah. That sold a lot of sheet music, yeah. If I remember my history.
Anyway, so the you should go on Amazon, whatever country you are in, and buy this. You can buy the physical copy, or you can buy the ebook, an electronic book. And
do you have the do you have an audio book that you read the whole thing?
I do not. I mean, I've looked into it.
I have a great idea.
Yeah,
let's make this podcast right now an audio book of your books. Just keep it back and forth for every chapter.
Could do
okay,
that.
Okay, let's go.
Yep. You want me to start reading from the book?
I thought your idea was going to be to get one of, like, maybe get, like, Craig to read the book.
Oh, yeah.
Now, would that be cool? Well, if Craig read it, it would be...
It would sound pretty...
It would give it instant cred.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep. So, it's funny. It'll make you laugh. Okay. It'll make you cry. And it's cheap. So, you should definitely go on and buy it. And I need the money.
There you go.
You described to me how the printing works, and I was just shocked. How do you think it would work, Will?
I don't know. What do you mean how it works? They print as many as you sell, right? They try to stay a little bit ahead of the orders.
Nope. But
they're not going to print a whole bunch in advance, are they?
When you go onto Amazon and order one, they literally print one on the spot and mail it off to you.
So it prints that quickly?
Yeah, so there's no surplus at all.
Isn't that crazy?
So I was kind of close. So.
That's why we don't get any free ones.
You think
that's actually true?
You know what I'm feeling?
I don't have any.
What I'm feeling pretty good about though is that I think the $10,000 that Chris paid us, I think he's going to come out ahead. I think you'll sell enough.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Don't you think?
This is so obvious now. You know, we've been looking for a sponsor for 9 years.
Yeah, I know. And here he is.
And he was sitting right here all along.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. It's called 1916, the blog. Christian Schneider, go buy it. Go to Amazon. You can get the ebook version anywhere books are sold. Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, whatever. So,
I think you said you've listened to the Hang Up and Listen podcast.
Yes.
So there's a guy on that podcast named Stefan Fatsis. Mm-hmm. And every time they introduce him, they say, the author of the books Word Freak and A Few Seconds of Panic. They say this every single time. And those books now are probably more than 10 years old.
Yep.
They just keep saying that. So now what we're going to do is every time we talk to Chris, we're going to say, and now Chris, author of the book, 1916, the blog. So like 10 years from now, we'll say that. Right. Well,
once you win an Academy Award, you're always Oscar winner, so-and-so, right? Or Grammy winner, whatever.
Yeah. We just lost our headphones.
All right.
I think it's working.
Okay. Do you have a Wikipedia page?
I do not.
Well, if you did, when you do, that can be... one of your bullet points.
You're hired.
Mm-hmm.
And we can, that's a good way we can sneak in the podcast link too.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you mean? There's not a Will's Band?
Wikipedia page?
Yeah.
There should be.
Founding member of.
Why wouldn't there be? Yeah. All right. Okay. We have a couple things we have to, we're going to go on forever. We have 30 songs to play.
Absolutely.
Right? But we should probably mention Pete Shelley died.
Yeah. Just
that's
today.
Sad.
That's sad.
We're not going to play the jingle.
He was
and
only
63. Yeah. But maybe one of our winter podcasts, we can do a little bit, Buzzcocks discussion. You think?
Yeah, I'd love to do a Buzzcocks special.
Okay, and I also thought maybe we should just make at least a brief mention of our favorite live shows of the year. I mean, Craig's seen probably, 75 live shows. This is going to be harder for him. Right. What do we see? A dozen, maybe 20 or something? I mean, I've seen a pretty fair number, but I bet it's not more than 20 this year.
Yeah, I've seen...
So
maybe, I don't know, 10.
I wanted to single out Peter Hook and the Light that I saw last May, and he was great. Peter Hook, of course, the bass player for Joy Division and New Order. Mm-hmm. Part of it, he doesn't claim to be Joy Division or New Order. He's just his own band and plays a bunch of songs by those bands, and they're great. So that probably was my highlight. And then I had a trifecta of 3 Saturdays in a row in March, where I saw Proto Martyr, Always, and Ought on 3 consecutive Saturdays, and that was great. All great. So there you go.
Yeah.
Another memorable show, car seat headrest because we all went. And Craig was
say,
here.
Yeah, indeed. That was memorable.
And it was more memorable just hanging out than the show itself. But,
right.
You know, cool.
I'd mention Odd, the one that you and I saw together.
Yeah.
As a highlight, too.
Good. Chris?
I really don't remember all the shows that I saw this year. I mean, we just went to go see Phosphorescent
mm-hmm.
last week. I thought that was a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm kind of drawing a blank on who I saw.
Did the Jimmy Buffett sounding song sound like a Jimmy Buffett song when you played it live?
Indeed.
Kind of did?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
But, yeah.
All right. That's enough. We should get going with our lists, right?
Yes.
We're going to count them down, 10 to 1. And the suspense will build with each selection. I'm going to guarantee that. I'm going to also say I love this year's lists. They're so fun. They're just great. They are every year, but once again, they are great and fun.
And what's the over-under on number of times I'll say, hey, I'm going to listen to that sometime in the next year and never do.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably six or seven.
I was going to say four, but yeah. All right. Barrett's name starts with a B, and so he goes first. Barrett, what's the 10th best album of 2018?
I don't know. Why, like, kind of put me on the spot, aren't you?
Yeah.
If only you had time to prepare for this.
All right. My number 10 is a band called Idols. The album is called Joy as an Act of Resistance. And I picked a song called Danny Dendelko.
Idols.
Yep. It was kind of a, you know, well, it came in at number 10. I thought I'd have something to knock it off, but nothing did. And, you know, it reminds me, not to keep talking about Craig, but it reminds me of driving to the Brewer game. And, well, you guys were in a different car. We were in our car.
Yeah.
Listening to that. And JJ said, oh, his voice sounds a little bit like Paul Weller. I was like, oh my God, you are so right. So now every time I listen to it, I like a little bit more.
You were the master of finding bands or albums that make me want to smash a pint glass on somebody's head.
Yeah, that's what that one sounds like.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it definitely reminds me. I mean, they're not Irish, right? They're British.
Oh, they're from Bristol.
Yeah, but some of their songs sound like raucous Irish drinking songs.
Yeah.
Don't you think, kind of?
I can hear that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Idols, Joy as an Act of Resistance. That's intensity to get things started with. And Chris, I don't think he's really going to match that intensity with his number.
No, my intensity. I'm very low energy.
Let's tone this down just a little bit.
Have any albums this year? Anybody named Laura have albums?
No wispy women named Laura with albums this year. Number 10 of the year is by a guy named Nathan Salzberg, who is a guitarist who has contributed to some Bonnie Prince Billy albums and kind of helped out on other session stuff. This is his third album solo, which is why it is called Third. And it's just kind of a smoky, old-timey, instrumental guitar album. And he, by trade, I believe, is actually a historian. So he'll probably be read 1916, the blog, out now.
Yeah, he'll probably, he's probably read it already.
This is how this is going to go.
But
I'm surprised you didn't say idols. If you have any idle time, maybe you'd like to read my book.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned it yet?
Exactly, right.
But yeah, just go ahead and play the song. It's called Impossible Air.
Very nice.
Yeah, for me, that was my sitting on my back porch on a summer night, pretending I was in a Ken Burns movie.
Yeah, no, that's the first thing I thought, too. Like, yeah. That'd be great to see live at a place like Music Hall.
Yeah.
Someplace quiet.
It just, the recording quality just sounds so great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sucker just for kind of the clean acoustic sound. So, yeah, that's my pick.
That's Nathan Salzberg, Chris's number 10. All right, my number 10 is Ott. Now, I was pretty conflicted about this. This is one that I was going back and forth on. For a while, I didn't have it in my top 10. And then I thought, wait a minute, how could I not have this in my top 10? This is great. This is the issue I have with it. It's got 9 songs on it, and the first 5 are just incredible. And so if they sustained that level, it would have been my number 1, definitely. But then I think the last 4 songs I wasn't too inspired by, so there's some inconsistency. Now I have to say this: their live set, they play a great live set. They play all of their best stuff, so everyone should see them live. This is Ott from Montreal, and I'm going to play a song called "Disgraced in America."
Birds fly around while the dividends. Birds fly around while I'm picking up change, cropping out tokens and living in a haze. Build lights in the dungeons and plumbing in the graves. Something was in concert, some song was played, but nothing was delivered and a franchise was made. And what if I told you, what if I said, they're built to do so, they feel so good.
That's Ott. It's my number 10.
Did you listen to that much? We haven't talked about it with you before.
No, I didn't.
Do you have anything to say about it?
I really liked what I just heard there. I'll probably listen to that in the next upcoming year for
that's
sure.
Not, I wasn't trying that's to elicit. I wasn't trying to elicit that because we talked kind of back and forth about whether you know he uses this weird affectation on his voice.
Yeah,
which I didn't really like much. And then I saw it live, and I was like, maybe because he just looks like a nice enough guy.
Like, I'll give like, a pass.
He accepted it then.
I accepted it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the band is called
Ought. I think he's a super talent.
Yeah.
The whole band. Speaking of Ought,
you ought to buy Chris's book.
O-U-G-H-T, not A-U-G-H-T.
Right.
As in, like, the new year of
right.
the first 10 years of the century.
Okay. Let's keep on rocking. We're into the single digits. Barrett, what's
Who's
number
winning
nine?
So far?
Well, I'm going to declare myself the winner of each round. But, you know, that's only me.
So you're very humble.
Yeah. Yeah. Barrett, what's all number right. nine?
Number nine is, hold on.
By the way, is this the 10th anniversary of our best of the year?
Well, this would be top the 10th time we've done it.
It is the 10th
well, it'd be like
episode.
The 9th anniversary, but the 10th time.
Right.
Because we did it in 2009.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Like when you turn 10.
It's our 10th.
It's your 11th birthday if you include the day you were born.
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So the day
we're
born.
Hey, happy decade to us.
It's the 10th one of these we've done. And then next year will be the end of the decade. So next year we'll have to do.
The best of the decade.
We'll have to do our best of the year and then a decade one.
We did our best of the decade
last
time, right?
We did, yeah.
I had to go find
out. I've been telling some of my family members how excited I am about the decade list. Yeah. I've got 5 or 6 already that are going to be on.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take each of your top 10 lists. It'll be 100 albums.
Yeah.
I'm going to rank them from best to worst.
Whoa. Yeah, he's probably going to have one of mine at the worst.
We're going to rank our best top 10 lists?
Not mixing them up. Oh. It would be like Chris's.
So we have 100.
At number 3.
That's
2014.
That's kind of cool when you think about it, that we'll each have 100 albums that have made our top 10 lists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, Barrett, number nine.
Number nine. This was a real late entry.
I forgot this even came out.
Yeah. And it's been on my phone, and I remember listening to it when it came out, and like, oh, this is better than I thought. And I went back to it somewhat recently, and was like, actually, this is quite a bit better than I thought. This is the 4th album by the band Management, or MGMT, however you want to phrase it. It's called Little Dark Age, and the song I picked is called When You Die. About it is that it's catchy enough, but it's also kind of unpredictable and off kilter, and it sounds a little bit like a kind of a tamed song by Ariel Pink.
Yeah, I can see
Chris
that.
Chris is just like sharpening his claws. Like,
I like that. That makes me think I should go back and listen
it's
to
good.
That. I'm not sure why I didn't listen to it, especially if it was didn't it come out in I don't know the first couple months of the year.
Yeah,
so I have no excuse because that's the time of year there isn't that much coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, so, that's good. MGMT.
Now I'm certainly winning.
You just took
the
lead.
Most albums.
You're winning in...
Yeah.
Two to one.
Yes, you're winning in the number of albums that you've introduced.
You took the lead, but just wait until you hear our picks, then it's going to be a problem. Chris, what do you got at number nine?
At number nine, I have a Melbourne trio, and the Ought song that we played just had reference to a dentist, and this is also tooth-related, as they are... This is the band Loose Tooth, and their album is called Keep Up. And they make kind of, I mean, it's obviously 80s style music where the bass kind of drives everything. And I'm always a big fan of kind of the male-female vocals trading off on each other, which they do on occasion. So, you know, if you find yourself having a loose tooth and you need to take your mind off of it, I've got a book for you that you might want to.
There you go.
Anyway, yeah. The song is called Keep Up. Go ahead and play the song.
Tooth. Yeah, that totally has an 80s sound in a really good way.
Yeah,
kind of it sounds like the Waitresses singing background.
Yeah. So I figured you'd appreciate it being kind of a bass forward song.
Yeah, like
it. Jumpy bass.
Yeah, I think Nicholas told us about this, and I think I listened to it a little bit, but just not enough to really make a big impression. But that song is great.
The bass part sounded like a Joy Division song that I can't identify right now.
Yeah.
It's just slightly changed. But
I actually heard about them from somebody online. I think I posted, as I do on Saturday nights, I'm listening to this stuff and I'll say, hey, this band's really great, and then somebody said, oh, you should totally listen to Loose Tooth, and I did, and I really liked it. So
cool,
thank you, internet.
They've probably had a few, you know, barbecues in Nicholas's backyard, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Variety of, you know, some chicken.
Well,
various,
yeah,
a lot of things on the Barbie, whatever.
Yeah,
tramp stuff. Yeah. Now that Nicholas knows they had a barbecue in his backyard, if he wasn't invited, don't you think he's going to feel kind of bad? Let's edit that
That's
part out.
True.
Take that part out, just in case.
No, this is this podcast is out in the open, warts and all.
Are you
right?
Okay, I'm going to have to be more careful.
Everything's
about what I
staying
say.
In. Unless I make a mistake, then that might get edited out.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah. All right, you guys, you know, those were good attempts, but the actual ninth best album was the album Future Me Hates Me. What a great album title, Future Me Hates Me. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
By the Beths. And they're a band from Auckland, New Zealand. And so they probably have hung out with Nicholas. I mean, it's kind of a long walk from Melbourne, but I don't know, he could maybe ride his bike. He'd have to get on a ferry boat, maybe.
To New Zealand?
Yeah.
Is there a bridge?
It's probably, there's got to be a way.
A tunnel?
Yeah, there's got to be a way to get there. I mean, they would come to Nicholas's backyard to play a gig or something, wouldn't
they?
Yeah,
with Loose Tooth.
Yeah, you'd think so. This is a really catchy album. The more I listened to it, the more I liked it. I also like the fact that it seems to get better as it goes on. It has like it starts with a really straight ahead power poppy thing, and then kind of there are layers to it that reveal themselves as the album goes on. So I think
I thought you were talking about Chris's book. How it keeps getting better as it goes on.
Yeah, you know, when I was on page 50, I was thinking, this is just an average book. You know, this is like any old book. Like, this doesn't distinguish itself at all. But then I got up to like page 150. I'm like, oh boy, the sophistication is coming across now.
I don't think that's quite the plug that you think it is. Most people get to page 50 and go like...
then they wouldn't keep
reading.
It's no
good, right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sorry.
So after the song, we'll discuss, because I think you guys like it more than I do.
This album?
That's why, yeah.
All right, this song is called Little Death.
When you're near, my heart starts beating faster. The world starts moving slower. And I just freeze. It's cold, the steam escapes through my lips and dissipates. And you breathe it in, we all breathe it in. Your smile, it makes me weak. And the red spreads to my cheeks. You make me feel three glasses in.
That's the Beths, Future Me Hates Me, my number 9 for 2018.
Mm-hmm. I have a suspicion that Chris likes it, and I like it too, but what is it? There's so much music that sounds like this, I just can't.
You weren't able to distinguish it enough to make it interesting to you.
Yeah, I could have grouped a bunch of things together. Then like at number 9, here is this general sound. That a lot of people did.
It is certainly. See, I was going to stay out of this conversation for reasons that will be made clear later. But I mean, it's a genre for sure. But I mean, if you make great music within a certain genre, I don't necessarily hold that against people. But
all right, we'll leave it at that for now. Other than that, Barrett is not quite as impressed.
No, I am impressed, and I, you know, listening to it again tonight, it's like, all right, I'll give it to you. Sounds pretty good. I'm not giving you the yellow jersey, which I currently wear as the leader after two stages.
Yeah, wait till you get to this one.
You're off the scotch now.
Number 8. Barrett's right. Number 8.
Number 8. You guys are better at, like, when it's almost your turn, like getting prepared and looking at your notes.
Yeah, you get caught off guard every time you get called on.
Like, wait, what? I'm up?
I'm up, yep. All right. This is something I heard pretty early in the year. Because I remember walking around, and it was kind of cold when I was listening to it. But it wasn't like last week, so I know it was a long time ago. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
I have no idea where you're
going. Last winter.
it's a band or a woman that goes by the name, as people do, U.S. Girls. The song is called either M-A-H, all capitals, or Ma, but probably M-A-H.
Yeah.
That's U.S. Girls.
Yep.
The album is called In a Poem Unlimited. And I have a trivia item about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my son Reese's favorite bands.
Really?
Yeah. And he saw them live in Portland.
Wow. Well, I know yep. they're from Toronto, so I wonder if...
Canadian band.
Wait for Anurag's top 10 list and see.
Yeah.
But yeah. What I liked about it, the first thing that struck me is that her voice sounds like Kate Bush a lot of times. I like that. And it's really kind of hard to pin down like a genre on it because it's just kind of all over the place.
Right.
This one's got kind of a disco thing, like a Nile Rodgers guitar deal
right.
going on. And but just when you think you have a handle on it, the next song will go in a slightly different direction. So
I think
I just really liked it.
I think it's her fourth album, and Reese has them all, and he's played some of the earlier ones for me, and they're more experimental. They're even more unpredictable. So it's very interesting. Very good. U.S. Girls.
All right.
Chris, I'm sure that you disagree and think something other than U.S. Girls was actually the eighth best album of 2018.
For the first time in a long time, I'm going to disagree and say my number, what are we, eight. Number eight album is by a band from the musical hotbed of Kansas City, Missouri.
Right. There's never bands from Kansas City.
Right.
So this is cool.
So pretty soon Kansas City is going to be, you know, Athens or Minneapolis or Seattle or Brooklyn.
To build the suspense here, Chris, I talked about this on the podcast and I really loved this album. And then you put it on your list. I'm like, wait a minute. I forgot about that album. That was great.
You didn't add it to your list after the fact, did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh. You've been stealing
it. I really like it.
Yes. Yeah. So the band is Shy Boys. The name of the album is Bell House. And I really liked it, just kind of its unpredictability. You know, they take songs in kind of different areas. There's a lot of, harmony in them, but then there's some jagged edges, and they kind of jump around. They're kind of almost like the Shins in that regard, I think. And but there's something, you remember, this is going to be a deep cut. Remember a few years ago there was a band called Loney Deer?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. With kind of the falsetto singing in some of the songs and kind of really poppy. And they kind of remind me of that a little bit, too. But anyway, I really like the album, which is Bell House. And I picked the song Something Sweet.
Shy Boys, Chris's number eight.
Yeah, I liked it. Yes, it's the first I've heard of it.
When I hear that, I want to say orchestral pop. There's something orchestral about it, even if it's not orchestral in instrumentation, but just all kind of a full sound and a lot of vocals.
And that song is one of the more kind of straightforward songs. I mean, that doesn't mm-hmm. have the starts and stops and some of the more experimental stuff that some of the other songs have. But really enjoyed that album.
Really good one. All right. My number eight. All right, so there's this guy, and he's from Connecticut. His name is Steve Hartlett. And he's got two bands that released albums this year, Avlov and Stove. And I really liked both of them. And so I was listening to them thinking, which one is going to beat out the other one, and I think at least one of these should be in the top 10. I determined that Avlov won the sweepstakes. And they're from Connecticut, not too far from Brooklyn, so it's kind of easy. It's an easy trip to get indie rock stardom. You know, can play at all the hip venues in Brooklyn and be cool. Really, all I have to say about this is my pick. I think I usually have at least one of these every year. Just turn it up, okay? Turn the volume up very loud right now.
Wow,
you're just, gonna rock you with some some soft sounds.
I'll be able to just edit it in. Here we go. You're gonna believe me. Listen to this.
A fire went off in way, oh my, my lost in wishes on till you say that you want me to decide my own fate, but if it's left up to me, I don't see why not try to find the friend to win.
That's Avlov. The album is called True, and that song is called Short Morgan. That's my Play It Loud song of the year.
Yeah, that's good.
That's rock and roll, right?
I like it.
Little Dinosaur Jr. solo thrown in there, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right, that's number 8. Barrett, we're up to number 7 now.
Okay. My number 7 owes a Greta of Datitude. Hey, seriously. I've
That's going to be your first the name of your first album.
Greta of Datitude.
Yeah.
A Datitude.
Yeah, because I have a Datitude.
Like Datitude with a dad. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome.
Greta of Datitude. Anyway, it owes one of those to Will because I had something else on there, and then Will sent an email around like, oh, these are some of the ones that just missed. And of those, one of them is one of my all-time favorite artists. It's like, you know, I need to listen to that some more and see if I like it more than I thought. And it's Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks. And I did like it. When you know, okay, a little aside here. That album came out the same day that Courtney Barnett's album came out.
That sounds right.
I remember It was in May. I was so excited about both of them. And I liked Courtney Barnett better. Hmm. So I listened to them each a lot, but Courtney Barnett pushed the Stephen Malkmus out, but Stephen Malkmus wrestled his way back into my consciousness.
And
so
it moved its way all the way up to number 7.
All the way up to number 7, right. So
I have to say I wanted this to make my top 10, and the song you picked, this is one of my absolute top songs of the year. I just love it. You picked the right track.
The track is called Middle America.
Stops until you do. Blame stops until you do. Do your major duty and crawl right back again. Time gets to me and I. The heir apparent just might try. You know you should be winning.
Yeah. Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks. The album is called Sparkle Hard. I'm so glad Barrett found room in his top 10 for this.
Mm-hmm.
The unmistakable Stephen Malkmus.
Yeah. And that's just, I just love that song. There's a lot of good stuff on the album and a lot of variety. A lot of variety. It's like different stuff. And
yeah.
That one's the most, I think, just outwardly catchy, just fantastic mm-hmm. song. But
yeah.
And by the way, Stephen Malkmus still making good music 20 years on. Good yeah. for him.
And I did see them live. That was really fun. Grant and I went to Milwaukee and saw them with opening band Lithics. I don't know if you remember Lithics. We've talked
was
about
that. Where was that?
That was at the Collectivo Coffee
wow,
back
that
room.
Just, that was this year, right?
Yeah, in June. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was pissed good one. That they played there. First of all, my mom lives like a block and a half away from there. So, you know, I could have stayed there for free,
yeah.
I think. I didn't ask her, but she's usually pretty good about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't get into the, you know, it's one of those things where by the time you hear about it, it's sold out.
And yeah.
I know we had a thing like,
we were talking
if it goes
about
down
it,
below
right.
like $70 or we had a
it got
threshold.
It sold out and it was pretty expensive. And then yeah. I think it went down to like $40 or something. So yeah. Grant and I decided to go. So, yeah. Awesome.
Just last night I had a friend text me like, why aren't you at the Tom York show in Milwaukee? I was like, oh, man. I had no idea. But
yeah.
Oh, well.
Mm. Yeah. Well, speaking of Tom York, what's number 7, Chris?
Okay. Well, I'm going off the board a little bit on this one, I think. You're probably not going to find this on a lot of year-end lists. But as I may have noted earlier in the podcast, it was a big writing year for me. So when I write, I have to listen to instrumental music, and that often means a lot of soundtracks. And the movie Phantom Thread came out this year, which is a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. And it is scored by Radiohead member Johnny Greenwood, who has also scored a number of other movies, including the Paul Thomas Anderson movie There Will Be Blood, which I love that soundtrack as well. I listen to this soundtrack a whole lot, and it's very orchestral, but it's challenging. It's got some experimental
confrontational
parts. It is challenging and confrontational.
Ooh.
And I just love it. It's just atmospheric. It just puts you in a mood. It puts you in a specific place. I saw the movie, and I don't remember a thing about it, but I just love the soundtrack. And so the song that I picked is called House of Woodcock.
Johnny Greenwood.
Was that the intro, or does the whole song sound like that? I'm just kidding.
I don't know anything about the movie, but I was picturing snow outside. Almost yeah. sounded kind of a yeah. holiday sound to it, that piano.
Yeah. You know, like, Jade, my wife, would just, I'm going to tell her about this as soon as I get home, because she would really, really like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... I've become such a huge fan of Johnny Greenwood's solo work, and I'm not that big of a fan of Tom York's solo work, so I'm kind of crafting a theory that Johnny Greenwood might actually be the main creative force behind Radiohead, but don't...
you're doing kind of a Johnny Marr, Morrissey type of comparison here?
Yeah, so... No, I mean, I really listened to that no fewer than 100 times this year, and it always just gets me in the right state.
I always just think of him as, I mean, you think of a guitarist as just like, yeah, guitar player. Like, you know, people write songs on guitars and stuff, but, you know, he's showing himself to be an actual composer, which pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. My number 7, we're going to go back to Nicholas's backyard, and it's one of the themes we have here, isn't it? Going to Nicholas's backyard.
It is.
Yeah. So my top 7, I have to say, it was really hard to sort these all out and what order to put them in. And I think really any of my top 7 could have arguably been number 1. This was not a year for me that was just like there was an obvious, like, this one's got to be number 1. So there's 7 really great ones. Not to mention the other 3 that I've already played. Those are pretty great too. Wouldn't you guys agree?
They're okay.
All right. Number 7 is Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever and their album Hope Downs. And I think Nicholas had a good way to describe these guys when he saw them live, and he said they kind of have this muscular confidence about them, you know? Like, maybe you could call it a swagger. We use that in sports, right? That term?
Yeah.
This band kind of has a swagger. Like, when they play a song, they know what they're doing, right? There's a confidence about it and a kind of a forcefulness about it. So I picked a track called Talking Straight. Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever.
Yeah, this one was a near miss for me. I really like this album. Would you call that replacement-y?
A little bit, I guess.
Boy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the expert.
I can hear that. You know, it's like a certain type of replacement song.
And it's got, it does have a characteristic Australian sound too, I think.
The vocals sound
the
like
kind of thing that you'd, if you were driving by Nicholas's house, you'd expect to hear coming from the backyard.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, as long as the Beths weren't back there doing their barbecue,
or
right?
Loose
right.
Tooth might be back there.
Yeah.
Where are the Beths?
The Beths are New Zealand. They might be.
Oh,
there
right,
too.
They were at the Loose Tooth.
I think
thing in Nicholas's backyard, literally in his backyard that he was not invited to. That we're going to edit out.
Courtney Barnett hangs out back there sometimes too.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there are a lot of big celebrities that hang out in Nicholas's place, and this band is as good as all of them. They've had 2 EPs and now this full length album, and like all their stuff is really good. So, I would love to see them live.
Every time I listen to it, which isn't that many times, but you know, when they've been brought up on the podcast, and I know like Craig is a fan and you talked about them, and I'll listen to it and I'm like, I like it. I kind of like it a lot, but I don't know what it is. It's not, it's been hard for me to love I merely like it.
Merely like it.
Like it, don't love it.
All right.
Kind of the way I feel about Chris.
Yeah. We like Chris. We don't really love him, though. Yeah.
Now we love Chris.
Barrett, number six. I have a trivia item about number six.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
It's a good trivia. I think this Chris will understand this.
Well, sure.
Number six for me is a band called Spiritualized.
Mm-hmm.
The album is And Nothing Hurt, right?
Right.
This is a guy, Jason Pierce, or Jay Spaceman. He's been around for a real, real long time.
Yeah, he's an aging rocker. We love aging rockers, right?
And, well, this album, I put it a little asterisk by the song because it sounds so much like a song on the kind of the biggest Spiritualized album, which is Ladies and Gentlemen, We're Floating in Space, the first song, that I really wanted to do a little bit more research and see how many people have been talking about that, or if it's like intentional. Is it like a remake or something? It's like so crazy. But I love the song. Love both songs. The one that it sounds like, and the one that I'm going to pick. The one I'm going to pick is called A Perfect Miracle.
Spiritualized and Nothing Hurt is the album. That's Barrett's number six.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a catchy one. Here's the trivia item. When you were in the car playing the Idols album, Chris and I were in the other car and we listened to this album.
No way.
Yeah, pretty good. Remember, Chris?
I do remember that, yes. I like Spiritualized a lot, although I didn't listen to this one a whole lot.
Do you know that album, the first song on Ladies and Gentlemen, We Are Floating in Space? This would be unprecedented,
but
if you could play a snippet... I can't. I mean, it's kind of shameless how much it sounds like it.
I actually, one of my favorite albums of this year was the Will Oldham album, where he just kind of redid a lot of Bonnie Prince Billy songs, except just solo and acoustic.
Yeah.
And it's a great album, but I couldn't. So
he took the Bonnie Prince Billy songs and stripped them down. They're already like half naked.
Right, now exactly. They're totally naked. But yeah,
how do you strip down a song that's already been stripped down?
It's a great album. But
I think I would probably like that.
Yeah, I couldn't justify just having all remakes on an album on my list. So
okay, let's listen to this and see if Barrett's right.
Yeah, we can even talk over it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're floating in space.
Like, super cool little thing to have the person talking. My other favorite thing about this song is the little, like, NASA beeps.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same song.
It's kind of the same, yeah.
Wait. Hold on. There we go. That little beep, the NASA thing that you hear.
Yep.
That is so cool from the song. Anyway, I think it's very weird how similar these are. So,
yeah, it's the same song.
Same song.
It's kind of the same, yeah. It's the same good song, right? Like you said, yeah. All right, very good. Let's see, what are we up to now? I think we're up to Chris's number six.
Oh, yeah. I believe we may have already talked about this on them on the podcast. This is my favorite South Korean band.
This is another band that I wanted to put on my top 10, and I'm so glad you put them on there because they were hovering at 11 or 12, and it's a good one.
I've exhausted the American resource of girl pop bands, and so now I had to take it overseas to South Korea. And this is the band Say Sumi, and the name of the album is Where We Were Together, and it's just really catchy and really poppy, and I really like it. So the song is But I Like You.
Say Sumi.
So there they are, making the power pop that Americans refuse to do.
Yeah,
taking our jobs.
You know, after listening to this album, I thought the first couple of songs, I think that one was track two, I remember right.
Yep.
Those remind me, the first two remind me of one of my favorite all-time bands, the Raveonettes, a little bit.
Yeah,
And then some of the songs, the guitar player cited Yola Tango as an influence. And some of the songs have a little, you can hear that.
Sure, yeah.
Once you hear that reference, you're like, oh yeah. So it's a really interesting album. It's not all the same at all. And it's really,
I remember liking it
and good.
when it was current and listening to it, and a lot of things, it just, you know, you just kind of forget about it.
There's too many things to listen to. That's the problem.
When do you guys make time to listen to, like, I know that your answer is going to be that you don't, but like, when do you make time to listen to the Kinks? Like, I mean, don't you have to listen to the Who sometimes?
Yeah, and you should.
This is a year I
do a little bit, but not as much as you do. Yeah, yeah.
I went all in on Jonathan Richman this year and a lot of Bob Dylan and trying to go back and mine some of that old stuff. So a lot of, not a whole lot of time for new stuff. Although, as you know, I'm deep, deep into South Korean power pop.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
One thing we tried to get into, you know, the Rock and Apple update, so we listened to some old stuff. Like, I wouldn't have listened to Barracuda by heart if we didn't have the Rock and Apple update.
Likely not.
So that's been good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you think their top 10?
The Rock and Apple top 10
would consist of.
They wouldn't play anything from this year, right? So
they couldn't. You know, no, it'd be like the first 10 Greta Van Vliet songs. Maybe they would, change the order up a little bit, but that's what it would be.
The question is, do you think Say Sumi knows Heung-min Son?
Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Spurs.
They're both legends. Yeah.
Tottenham Hotspur, super duper star.
Oh, you had to get that reference in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right, you can move on.
You scored a goal yesterday.
Yes.
3-1 whipping of. Oh, wait. No, I want to take that out, honestly, because they beat Craig's team. And I care
now you have to 1%
as much as Craig does.
Yeah.
So, Craig, I sincerely apologize. I'm not even being insincere.
You know what's more important than that, though, is
my
number six.
Go ahead.
Chris's book and then my number six. All right. Okay, here, this is another one. I was like, I don't know if I, you know, this is a person who basically achieved indie rock stardom this year. And I thought, well, you know, I don't really need to, I mean, other people have taken the reins on this, you know. I don't even know if I need to bring it up. I don't even know if I need to have this in my top 10. A year ago, we already recognized this this artist is really good. So I don't know. And then, but then I'm listening and I'm just like, it's too good. It can't not be in there. One must recognize Snail Mail. So here it is. It's an excellent album. And so, you know, even though she's playing at Madison Square Garden coming up, I think she's opening for somebody huge. Like
I saw her open for Waxahachie last year.
Yeah, I've seen her a couple times.
I've seen her live twice, yeah.
Yeah. We saw her open up for...
Did she open for Ott? No, she didn't.
No, she opened up for... It was her.
Parquet Courts? No.
No, it was her, and then it was Hines, and then the headliner was somebody else at Frozen Festival last year.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Hines was the headliner when we saw
They were the headliner?
I thought they were.
Yeah, maybe.
Yep. I know I've seen Snail Mail open twice.
Well, anyway, this album called Lush is just really good, and there's just no denying it. So here it is, number 6, and I'm picking a track called Speaking Terms. Snail Mail.
Yeah.
That's Lindsay Jordan from suburban Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. When we saw her, she was wearing a Washington Capitals.
Correct.
I'm going to call it a sweater. It's a sweater, yes. Not a jersey, yeah. Or a kit. Yeah. So
I will just say for the record that even though I've seen her twice, I absolutely do not understand.
You were on the record fawning, that night as being.
I do not understand the fawning reviews of Snail Mail, but...
Is this like the National for you?
This is like the National for me. Yeah.
You know what's going to happen is that David Zucker and you are going to get into a fight.
Yeah, it could be a fist fight.
And, yeah.
So I'm curious, what's David going to do
playing,
with this?
She could be playing in Austin.
So he had he had the EP last year at number one. What
oh,
do
this
you do
is
with
number
this?
One? What are you, crazy?
It should
of course
be,
it
I
is.
Guess.
Yeah. Sorry to steal
now
your
he's
thunder, by, David.
Now he's got to list at number one, and he's going to hear this. He's going to be like, nope, it's number 7.
No.
All right. We're at the upper half now.
Yeah.
Speaking of Snail Mail, though, if you order Chris's book, one of the options would be delivery by Snail Mail. That would be free.
Oh, right,
you know,
right.
Or you could get the next day and all
absolutely.
Kinds of options, but Snail Mail would be the least expensive option.
I thought you were going to say that if you order the book, you get a free download of the Snail Mail album.
Wow.
I mean, that could work that. We got to cut that out then. I mean, Snail Mail, album of the year for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll open her at Madison Square Garden with a reading from my book.
So. They should have us at Madison Square Garden, right? Like a little panel. Yeah. What was the band?
Square Garden in Madison, maybe.
Did you hear that story that... when Metallica played here at the Kohl Center, You didn't go to that, did
no,
you?
No, I did not.
So Metallica came, and this is the big basketball arena that has like a capacity of like 17,000 or whatever. I don't know what the capacity for live shows is, but so when Metallica played here, the opener was a comedian.
Oh, I did hear that.
And they just went on and on and on. And I was reading like these people that were like, this is just absolutely just unbelievably terrible, because he went out there and just blabbered on for like an hour and a half.
Metallica just trolling their fans.
I think Chris could open for a rock band and
absolutely
keep the audience, but this guy, no. Nah.
Wow.
I don't know what I'd do with all the groupies.
Yeah. Okay, Barrett, number five. We're in the upper half now.
Awkward silence.
Yeah.
Let that pass.
I'm on my third drink, which is, I believe that's six casks now.
Six.
Yeah.
Double cask, three drinks.
Well, first of all, we haven't really talked. Okay, so we're at number what?
Five.
Okay, so we're halfway done.
Yeah.
Time for a pause here, and let's talk about what we think about this whiskey that we're drinking.
The double cask?
What do you feel about Aberlour?
I think it's really good.
It tastes like two and a third casks, at least, more than just the double.
You're giving it an extra third of cask. Mm-hmm. All right, good.
No, I like it.
Yeah.
Are you guys good at, giving tasting notes for stuff like this?
You have to say it's
have like a like
it's always
it's got
smoky,
a caramely,
yeah,
a smoky,
cinnamony,
some oak,
yeah, a little
cinnamon,
oak.
Horse blankets. that's a tasty note for beer. It really is
horse blankets.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the one who went to Scotland this year, and I don't have the sophistication that you guys have for describing the taste. But it's
tastes
good.
Like a yeah. It tastes like you wrung out a horse blanket. I just got back from. A cattle drive from
and you mean that as a
Texas
compliment,
to,
right?
Yeah. Texas to the feed yards up in Kansas City, wring it out.
Tastes like a cowboy sock?
No, like a horse blanket. I told you already. Well, let me take another sip. Maybe it does taste like that.
All right. Okay, now remember, we're only halfway through.
Yeah. We've still got a long way to go here.
Yeah.
We're more than halfway through this, though.
Yeah.
We are, yeah. Well, I don't know, but I mean, there's still some in the glasses. So
yeah,
we're about halfway
through.
All right, Barrett, number five.
Okay,
and I like this pick,
five.
Too. This is a live show that we saw
we
together.
We did, and I really liked it.
Yep.
We had some criticisms of their kind of the way the band, the way they arrange themselves on stage, and who gets the attention. That was kind of weird. But talking about Parquet Courts, and the album is Wide Awake, or Wide Awake, because it's got a...
Exclamation point
in there.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to pick the song Total Football, which I think I picked when we talked about them on the podcast, so I wanted to go away from that. But that's a good one to start with.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I picked is Mardi Gras Beads.
Sings and lyrics I from memory. It said our goodbye sound nostalgy. Your chord swung me from an old hollow tree. I'm living like a vagabond that just can't decide when to leave. With roots are in the rhythm to my good swings, I found even it's impossible to keep. Every day is starting up a balance beam. Still you're steady with me, always carrying the melody. Smiling all the while, the pain chips off all my ball of rare beads. Images contain not the lens or frames. Recall to my mind before I fall asleep. A list of regrets is no place to be. I'm coming in late, but I'll never modulate us to a minor key.
Parquet Courts. Yeah, that's an example of a band. They're a few albums into their career, and they just keep they keep it interesting, right?
Yeah. That song is very untypical, atypical of the album.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like it. It's got cool harmonies and stuff. And yeah. It sounds like a, I don't know, some, can't really put my finger on what that style reminds me of, but I do like it.
Yeah, I agree. Good.
So number five.
Yep. All right, Chris, number five.
All right, here's an album that we reviewed on the podcast and that I was on earlier in
one
the
of those
year.
Rare times.
One of the rare times yeah. where I didn't have a book to sell and I was on the podcast. And, you know, we all have our favorite bands and people, artists, that maybe we kind of grant some extra leeway to. And this, for me, that's definitely Courtney Barnett. And is this album as good as the first two, which are literally my favorite of the last, you know, couple years? It's not that great, but it's really good, and I love her. So I put it on here. As Barrett said, it was good enough to knock Stephen Malkmus off of his consciousness for a little while. So if you want to know more of what we think about this, you can go back to our past podcast when we talk at great length. But for now, the album is called Tell Me How You Really Feel, and the song that I picked was Need a Little Time.
I don't know a lot about you, but you seem to know a lot about me, so I take a little time out. I take a little time out. Sorry that I lost my patience. You deserve better, it's true. I need a little time out. I need a little time out from me. 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 Me.
Courtney Barnett. Yeah, that one was just outside of my top 10. I was
considering
it. And I mean, that's actually, this one is actually my favorite of her albums. But I wasn't as huge of a fan of the previous two as you were. But
I was going to point out, like, I felt the same way that Chris did. But it's really hard to say if those are opinions that, you know, like, say it's like Nick Drake, right? Like, people forget about her. And then in like 25 years, it's like kids are like, whoa, Courtney Barnett, and they get all the albums at the same time. Is the superiority of the first two going to be evident to them, or is it more about when you heard them and how much you liked it at first and kind of nothing being able to live up to that? Or
there's definitely something to be said for listening to them in the sequence in which they came out, because then you follow kind of the growth or regression of an artist, and it's all about the context in which it came out, which I'll probably talk about in another album coming up. But I mean, it helps to be there at the time, and I've talked about this with Bob Dylan all the time. It's like a 1,000 people have done Bob Dylan since Bob Dylan, but you have to be there in 63 and 64, the anti-war effort, and to just kind of see how revolutionary he was at the time. Not to say Courtney Barnett is Bob Dylan, but So I don't know where I'm going with this.
So we're talking historical. So I'd like to know, Chris, what was number one in the Billboard charts in 1916?
Well, at the time,
that was Scott Joplin with the Maple Leaf Rag.
It might have been. I can tell you that Winston Churchill's favorite song was a woman about a woman with one leg, and about a guy who married a woman with one leg, and it's called I Married Half a Woman, Half a Tree. So that's 100% true.
Wow. Maybe that's these are my bad. Modern sensibilities, but that seems sort of disrespectful.
Yeah, it does. I don't know. Definitely does. Yeah.
There's your history. All right. History nugget for the podcast. Now we're an educational podcast.
All right, we're an everything podcast basically. Number five
for you.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I really have basically one note about my number five, and that's Thanks Anurag from Hamilton, Ontario. The band is Basement Revolver. I love it. This is recommended by Anurag. I guess Anurag found them because they did an Audio Tree session. I kind of get these mixed up, that the Audio Tree and the KEXP, because they're really similar. They're just really good quality studio recordings with video, and they're good. But the album's great. It's called Heavy Eyes. And here's a catchy track called Johnny.
I get it, you're sad. He dropped the ball. No longer in your court. Try not to feel bad. But you tried to do the same thing to me. I don't want to be mad. But your body stick together in my mind.
That's Basement Revolver. The album is called Heavy Eyes. They're from Hamilton, Ontario. Apparently, Hamilton is becoming kind of a cool indie rock place as bands get priced out of Toronto a little bit. I've been reading that.
Where is Hamilton?
It's basically follow the lake and go about an hour and a half west of Toronto.
So it's the Madison of Toronto.
Something
just
like
we are
the Madison of Toronto.
We're the Madison of Milwaukee. They're the Madison of Toronto.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah.
Yeah.
Also home of the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
So they're like Kitchener. Anurag's going to have to correct us on this, but Kitchener's not right down by the lake, so it's a little bit north. It's also kind of west of Toronto, but yeah. There. How is that? Does that make any sense? Probably not.
Yeah.
I like that.
Geography.
Yeah, it's a that's really good album. It's
if the rest of the album's like that, I'm in.
Yeah. Reminds me of like a little heavier version of Always. That's what I think about them.
Well, now you're speaking my language.
Yeah. So all right, number four. Barrett, number four.
Wow.
It's getting pretty serious.
Yeah, it's getting serious now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now
they're all
the
good
stuff
from this
we
point,
all like.
Man.
Everybody likes
oh,
this
man,
stuff.
Oh, man, yeah, this is good stuff.
So
yeah.
I picked an album by The Goon Sax.
Is that like Yakety Sax?
Nope, not exactly. It does have the word sax in it, though. That's very observant on your part. The album is called We're Not Talking, and they're from, you're not supposed to say Brisbane. You go, Brisbane.
It's Brisbane.
Brisbane. Yeah. Yeah, so you got to make sure you pronounce that correctly. Song
Australia
I picked
is the new Hamilton.
We Can't Win. Yeah, Brisbane is kind of like the Madison of Melbourne.
Yeah, that could be.
Australia is kind of the Madison of America.
The analogies are just getting better and better.
Thinner and thinner.
All right, let's play the song.
Thank you.
distance myself from a situation when it makes me nervous. But I don't want distance when distance always seems to be the thing that comes and hurts us. We can't win. How can I feel alright when I'll hate myself for it? And this feeling in the back of my head since I woke up, I can't ignore it. You told me you wanted to spend some time alone. I understood, I just wanted you here. And when the bus went past your house and past your stop and didn't stop, my eyes filled with tears. We can't win. These nights staring at your back have made me lonely. We don't want distance, but it seems to come to us so easily. We can't win.
The Goonsacks.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We're going to be the first podcast to ever not mention the relation to
you mean we're not going to mention?
I just
Lewis
realized
Forster
what I was
going to.
That's what I was catching myself. I was going to not. I was almost going to do it.
Yeah, we don't need to mention that. That's a good album, the Goonsacks.
I'm completely lost on whatever that last joke was. What
should we just? We'll have to tell Chris.
Yeah,
Robert Forster
from the Go-Betweens.
Dad of
Lewis Forster.
Lewis.
Right. From
does he go by Louis?
I don't know. I'm going to say Louis.
Louis.
Yeah, what's interesting is he says that he never listened to his dad's music. Like, he's barely listened to it at all. So, and I kind of believe it, but it's very interesting because it's almost like it's like a DNA thing because the bands have a definite connection.
Yeah, I don't believe it even a little. I think what is he, 19
maybe,
years old?
Yeah, or something like that.
He's just being defensive.
Yeah,
trying not to sound like
a... Yeah, maybe he heard it when he was 6 and it infiltrated him. Who knows? Anyway, I love it. It's a good album. The Goonsacks, we're not talking.
It's a terrible band name, by the way.
It is very bad.
You know, Brisbane, I think Nicholas would have to at least get on his bike, right? It'd be a long walk.
Could they go to they could make it to his backyard, though. They're a rich band now.
Yeah.
Nicholas was a kid, Brisbane was like on the very outer limits of his paper route.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Think of the dedication it took, though, for him to bike all the way there
and
deliver those papers. They probably really appreciated it.
Is that a universal thing? Do they have that?
Like paper
kids
routes?
Kids riding bikes on paper routes?
I had no idea.
They're interesting.
You know my favorite paper route story
is? Of an Australian person.
I have a paper route story.
I don't know what your favorite paper route story is.
Okay.
Somehow it's...
A friend of mine and I...
Must have talked about this on the podcast
I think
before.
It was the Milwaukee Sentinel. Journal. No, the Sentinel came out in the morning, right? And the Journal was an afternoon paper. Yeah. So we had a friend who had a paper route, and then he was, gone for a week or two. So he needed a substitute. So I said, okay, yeah, I'll do it. So this friend of mine and I did it together, and it's like 5:30 in the morning, and it's like dark outside, and we're riding our bikes, and he's like half asleep, and he literally rode right into the back of a car and went flying off his bike and landed on top of the back of the car. Just, that'd be a shock, right? That woke him up.
That would be a shock.
Yeah.
We got the rest of those papers delivered. All right. What is...
That's like the paperboy creed. No matter what.
Yeah, got to get that paper there.
Deliver the papers.
Broken legs.
Got hit by a car, smashed into a car, whatever. Deliver the papers, man, and then you can worry about it later.
You know, this is really going a long time, this podcast.
It always does.
Yeah. No, but I thought we did it. I thought last year we did it in like an hour 45, and this is going to be like, there's no way.
No way.
Chris, number 4.
All right, so this follows up on what I think is the big theme of the year. Which is bands who are named after parents.
Dads and moms and...
Yes, and world's greatest dad, I think.
Sisters and brothers.
Is Soccer Mommy, not to be confused with Soccer Mom, which is a different band. This is Soccer Mommy. And her name is Sophia Ellison. She is a Nashville artist, and she's really great. And she's kind of a solo artist that goes by Soccer Mommy, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole album, her album is called Clean, and it's about unrequited love. And, you know, the lyrics aren't exactly Shakespeare, but, you know, every age group needs some kind of artist to express love that will not that you want but you can't have, and I think this album does that very nicely. So, as I said, the album's called Clean. I picked the song Blossom (parentheses) Wasting All My Time.
Soccer Mommy. Yeah, that's really good.
It is good.
Makes me wish I had gone back and listened to that a little bit more. But I didn't go back and revisit it. So
I hear it all the time because the baristas play it at the coffee shop a lot.
Yeah.
And so it's not what kept it off.
Probably with the young people.
Definitely.
As I am of the group here.
Lucy Dacus is the other thing that all the baristas love. And I've seen that on some top tens.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on ours. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the two things from this year that your 20 to 26 female demographic.
Nobody's more in touch with the youngs than I am.
The youngs.
Yes. The youngs.
Yes.
Although when Chris has a band, it's going to be called Basketball Dad. Right?
Maybe absolutely. Basketball Daddy.
Yeah. Literally on the way here, I was checking score. My wife was texting me scores of my daughter's basketball game. So,
did she stuff the stat sheet? Did she have 17 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists?
She's all about fundamentals.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Actually, there were 24 points scored in the whole game. They won by 2 points. So, hey, yay, Madison West.
Really? Yeah. So it was like 13 to 11? 20,
no, 24 by the winning team.
Right, it was 24-12. 24-22.
Hmm. Yeah. Hey, all that matters is the W column.
You got to get the W.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's 8-5 or 71-66.
Right.
You get the win.
I mean, it's also a shorter game. They play like two, you know, 1 minute halves. So
2 1-minute halves.
Are those the only parent?
It's like speed basketball.
Jack it up threes.
Think how important everything would be if you had 2 1-minute halves.
One very intense possession.
Right. Hey, are we up to my number four now?
We are.
We did Barrett's number four. Yeah, that was the Goonsacks. Okay. All right. Frankie Kosmos. You know, they've been around a while. They or she, the leader, of course, is Greta Klein. And I think she just really totally put it together on this album this year called Vessel. It's the great, I had the Play It Loud album of the year. This is the twee pop album of the year. Really consistent, all kinds of great catchy songs, kind of sensitive and quiet and just really good. The album is called Vessel, and I'm going to play a track called Apathy. We'll be right back. That's Frankie Kosmos.
Yeah, another thing I really liked a lot this year.
The album is full of catchy tracks, and it's great. I recommend it. Number four.
I'm sure I'll be recommending it to you in about 6 months. Hey, did you hear that Frankie Kosmos from last year?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's such a classic. Is this number two that you're going to go back and listen to?
You know what's exactly. funny is that I think every one of the correspondents has done that, you know?
Yeah, it gives me great satisfaction when somebody says, hey, I just found this great album, and I say, well, last March we discussed it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun. It's hard to keep ahead of everybody with all these cutting-edge music fans, though.
When music fans think of cutting-edge music critics, they think of us, three old dudes.
Exactly, right.
For sure.
Yep.
Like, we're on the razor's edge of music commentary.
Yeah, totally. Oh, I'm so excited. Barrett's number three.
Three?
Yeah, and I approve.
Number three. Hold on.
There's a story to tell about this, too.
Oh, okay. So now we're getting into the repeats, right?
A little bit. Yeah, we got a couple of them.
I've got Ought, which was your...
Heard of them.
Was it number eight?
It was my number 10.
10, okay, wow.
Yeah.
So you thought it was terrible. I actually think it's pretty good.
I thought the first five songs were number one of the year worthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, the song I picked is Desire, and afterwards we'll hear an anecdote.
We will.
Didn't I say to you not to race it? It was never gonna stay. It was never gonna stay here. You're like the moon in a basket of wheat. You rose out of the roses right under my mouth. If I would cry from this petty little town, shine back, we will notice, though you never owed us. So passionately painted creatures we met, descend from the bleachers without much more than a promise. Well, you got it in your guts, stinking. I could taste it in your paint when you left and when you came. And I could remark upon that old feeling, but that won't make it remarkable feeling. Didn't I taste it, feel it, and know in so many ways. So many ways, the feel of your honey in the corner of my mouth. Like a loop around the block, like a shadow in your notebook. Oh, come on, it's based in rhyme, doesn't matter. Now we pause the tape for some laughter. I won't accept the conceit any further. I will return it to you.
That's Ought. The album is called Room Inside the World.
The song is called Desire, right?
The album is Room Inside the World.
Yeah.
Did I say song? Yeah, the song is Desire.
I was waiting for Bono to start singing, Desire!
Yeah.
So that song... Thumbs down on that song for me. Too little Bono.
No Bono.
No Bono.
That song builds, and so it's hard to just, you know, give it its just demonstration in that short time, because it just builds and builds and builds. The anecdote is, it was the third straight Saturday of good live shows that I saw last March, and I went to the High Noon Saloon where they were playing, and I think it was about, I don't know, 10 minutes until the opening band was to start, and there was nobody in there. There was nobody there, and there was just like this big empty space in front of the stage, and I felt really terrible, and I sent Barrett a photo.
Like, that's what got me there.
Yeah,
I was
I'm like,
shit.
I'm like, there's nobody here.
Somebody
this is
has
really
to be there.
Sad.
I went. Yeah.
Yeah. And Barrett came. He's like, okay, I'm coming. And then, you know, a reasonable number of people filtered in, so it wasn't really terrible.
You're basically
it wasn't embarrassing, but it was like
yeah, it was still not enough
sure
people.
The promoter.
You're like a Mother Teresa for bands.
Yeah.
Like, you're there to help
exactly.
them with
it's
a crowd.
Like, right.
And their live
you're like
show.
The musical Harriet. You're like the Harriet Tubman.
This
of
is why
music.
This takes so long. It's like one of those UNICEF commercials. instead of it being like a starving person, it's like a half empty or half 90. It was 99% empty.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was nobody there anyway.
But a few people showed up and the show was great.
Well, ought to owe you a free album or something.
They ought to have given us a free album for sure.
Absolutely.
There you go. Ought. So, I like all these mentions of Ought because I really like Ought.
Craig didn't like Ought, though.
No, Craig didn't. It kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
He just didn't quite connect with him. But that's okay. Not everybody connects with everything. Chris, what is the number three album?
Oh, man. I could not be more excited about this album.
There's controversy here because I know there's someone else who doesn't agree with you.
Really? Someone in this room? Oh, yeah. Man.
I haven't even looked at it. I cannot wait to find out what this is. I'm not going to look at the computer.
Well,
he's not going to look. Chris?
You made the point earlier about, we did, about Stephen Malkmus many years on, still making good music.
Yeah.
This band formed in 1993. Mimi Parker and Alan Sparhawk of Low. And the first time I listened to this album, I thought, this is absolutely sensational that after this many years, they're still challenging themselves and they're still making confrontational music. And yeah, they're doing a little bit of a Radiohead thing with, playing with electronics and beats and things like that. But, you know, God bless them for challenging themselves this far into their career. And, you know, the melodies are there. It all holds up. And I just think it's a fantastic album. And sonically, I just, you know, and this is getting, you know, kind of metaphysical here. There's just, to me, it just kind of feels like what America is right now. Like, it just feels like America to me. So the band that I picked was Low. And the album is called Double Negative. And I picked the second song of the album, Dancing in Blood, because I just think it sets off the album kind of what you can expect from here on out. So the song is Dancing in Blood.
That's Low. The album is Double Negative.
So clearly the song stretches out beyond that little snippet, but I just think it's great. But if there's a counter
You know what? You were actually right. You said it's kind of a representation of what America is right now, which is a sad shadow of its former self.
Yeah.
Go on.
Just teasing. But when I bought this and I was excited about it, listen to it, and my first impression was that I didn't like it. So I told Will, we were having an email thing with, you know, whatever, and it's like, I don't think it's podcast worthy. I just don't like it. I went back later to listen to it because people like it. It's getting a lot of really good reviews. It's high on people's lists and stuff. And I put it in the CD player in my car, and I'm like, something's wrong with my CD player. Something is all scratched up. Remember the second Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah album.
Right. Oh, yeah, where they had the distortion. Produced, yeah. Right, yeah.
And they had to put a sticker on it like...
This is intentional.
It's supposed to sound like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I almost thought...
Well, the percussion in particular is experimental.
Yeah.
And
that's Mimi doing that.
I really appreciated the originality of it. I just didn't go back and listen to it a lot, so I didn't really completely absorb it, but I had an appreciation for it for sure.
I'll listen to it some more because it's one of my, you know.
We were going to those shows bands. Years and years ago.
Yeah,
You see them? Like 2003 maybe or something? Or?
First time we have a poster at the coffee shop. The first time I saw them was September 26th of 2000.
Yeah.
They're definitely indie rock veterans, right? Totally.
So that was 18 years ago.
Yeah.
But there's,
and we've seen them several times since then.
There's so many like just little textural details, and I think it's just inspiring to me for a band that's been together so long to just go over an album so carefully and put so much care into it and trying new things. And it goes to show you that, you know, as I get older, like, hey, maybe there's still some creativity left in all of us in advanced years. So it's inspirational to me.
Yeah. Very good.
What I always liked about one of my favorite things about them, aside from, you know, the slowness, which they got away from a little bit in the Sub Pop albums, slow and quiet. But, like, the contrast between Alan and Mimi's voices was always a big thing. Like, Alan was, like, you know, pretty good, but not, I don't know. I liked it because it's, you know, characteristic of Low and stuff. And Mimi would sing, it just sounded like an angel. So, does this still have that kind of thing in there, or is it all just, like, all distorted?
It's pretty well distorted. But they don't, like, play off each other in the same song. Often, but,
yeah. I'll give her a chance.
Yeah, give it a shot. You've already bought it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You might as well.
Yeah, get your money's worth by listening to it.
Sure, you're losing money by not listening to it.
All right, my number three. So some of these albums clearly are more than one of us like them a lot. This is one of them. I've got the Goonsacks at number three. Personal Friends of Nicholas. Bike Ride Up to Brisbane. Yeah, it's a really good album. The dimension that's added, and we talked about their first album, this is their second one. Dimension that's really added on this album is the drummer, who's a woman, singing also. And so they have the male-female vocal thing now.
Phil Collins style.
Exactly.
Is he the most famous example of a drummer that sings?
Him and Grant Hart.
Yeah, and the guy from the Romantics.
Cowboy Mouth.
That's a Romantics.
What I Like About You.
Robert.
Yeah. Wow.
I remember the video, yes.
John Lennon famously was the drummer for the Beatles? Am I right on
that?
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
That seems right.
Yeah. Did Ringo, like, play live and sing When I'm 64 while he's playing drums?
They didn't. That was on an album after they stopped playing live, so...
Oh, really?
Steven Tyler started out as the drummer for Aerosmith.
Did he really?
Yes.
Indeed. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. Did he drum with exclamation points on every...
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to steal Craig's idea. The first song on the Goonsacks album is just so representative, and it's just a... there are so many really good songs on the album, but the first song called Make Time for Love is just a... good example. I'm going to play it. Here it is.
I felt happy when you said you don't need me, but I'm as happy as the number of lights. You need someone so completely, and I'm gone, running on strange time. And then socialize like it's a competition against people without school or girlfriends. In search of a faster way of moving, I give in, I won't outrun the train. But I can't understand why you're still trying. Oh, what you want, what I want, we forget over time. Let's feel nervous in your room. Birthday. I tried to paint you something, it didn't work out.
The Goonsacks. Yeah, not the greatest band name, but really good music.
Really good.
Good album.
That's not a song by people that have never heard the Go-Betweens. That's absurd.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I'm glad they're good at music, because yeah. if they were good at something else, they probably wouldn't be on your list. Like, yeah. I hear he's great at Sudoku.
What was that band from Virginia that sounded like the Beach Boys?
Oh. Explorers Club?
Yeah.
Explorers Club. Like if the guy, yeah. people are like, you sound just like the Beach Boys. He'd be like, what? I've never heard of that. He'd be like, that's equally believable.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. All or right.
The Jam. I've never heard of the Kinks. I don't know what that is.
Well, I mean, he heard it, but give him a break because it's his dad, right? I mean, maybe he never tried to actively listen to it, but he heard it, and so it was part of his subconscious.
But he said he didn't hear it.
Well, he just kind of said that he'd never really...
He's lying.
He didn't go out of his way to listen to it. Can we give him a break on that a little bit?
In the event he never did listen to it, that's a big peg in the like nature versus nurture.
A Lewis apologist
argument.
I want to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. They have put out a really, really good album. Whether they listen to his dad's music or not.
What if he really never did, and it's just genetic? Like, what if there is actually a genetic component?
That's the point he was making a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, plus all the other influences they would have. The people that they would hang out with at Nicholas's barbecues, you know, they're going to be influenced a little bit.
That's true. Maybe the Explorers Club were influenced by Jan and Dean. They'd never heard of the Beatles, the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
I have a phrase that I use, and usually it's when we hit number three. I say it's getting serious.
It is getting serious.
But we're at number two now. So that's really serious.
Wow. That's 33% Barrett, more serious than number three.
What is the second best album of 2018 that couldn't make it to number one?
We're repeating ourselves here again.
Yeah, it's not number one, so you obviously hate this album.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. But
you know what Vince Lombardi said? He said winning isn't everything. It's the only thing.
Second place is first loser.
Yeah, if you can't be number one, just get out of here.
Yep.
Right.
Right? So, yeah. Barrett, who is your also-ran?
First loser is Snail Mail, we talked about before. The album is Lush, and they picked a song called Heat Wave.
Snail mail.
Yep.
Yeah.
Snore mail. Am I right? So, up top.
Chris is sitting back there.
Barrett high-fived me on that.
Chris is back there unimpressed.
I don't leave people hanging.
I appreciate that. You know? Even though I was a subtle dig, but go on.
Subtle?
I guess
Baird and I are on board with this album. Yeah. So 2 out of 3.
I don't understand. And I remember talking about this, talking like an email thread, like how in the hell does Chris not like this?
Yeah,
because
I don't know.
You would up think, his alley.
Yeah, you would think this was tailor made for me. You know? I don't know.
You know who her voice? She sounds. It'll be interesting. Well, in the midsummer, remember everybody was like. I think everybody kind of overreacted, at least the people in our circle, about snail mail. It seemed like the biggest thing, right? And there's some sort of an inside joke going here. What's going on?
Well, I was just going to say, like, Barrett, you and I are on board, and...
In the words of...
In the words of Meatloaf.
In the words of Mr. Loaf.
2 out of 3 ain't bad, yeah. Let's play this nice and low as we talk. I like this. We should do more of this thing, this kind of stuff.
Maybe we should talk all night about snail mail.
But like, maybe the Meatloaf is too high in the mix. There we go.
We'll lower him a little bit.
Okay. But like, so in the midsummer, again, led by David Zucker, right? He was way, way, way on board with this.
Right? Yeah.
So was I. You were.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, I can't believe we saw her in January for like, and it only cost us $18 or whatever. And now it seemed like it was going to be an even bigger deal than it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's not topping a lot of year-end lists and stuff. And it's a really good album. It's my number 2. But kind of what a lot of people said was like, this seems like an artist that's going to make a lot of records. I hope that's true. It'll be interesting, one thing to me, not only to see her songwriting progress, but her voice. She sounds very, very, very young. It's right. Almost like a Brenda right. Lee voice. Like,
yeah.
Juvenile. And I like it. And I'll be very curious to see how that, I hope people are right, that she does make a lot of albums. She knows how to write a catchy song. So, you know. So, Chris... Don't be sad. You know why? Do you
why?
Know why?
Why is that? 2 out of 3,
baby. That's why. That doesn't even make sense. I mean, because like, why would he be sad? But you know,
I think my comment when we talked about this earlier in the year is that her whole instrumentation, when she diversifies that a little bit, she's going to be better too.
Right.
Because the whole, it's a pretty much straight guitar, bass, drums kind of thing right now. And there's potential for this to expand. Whether it can ever get to Chris and connect with Chris is another thing.
I'm just sore about the fact that it appears that she immediately got a lot more attention than my girl, Waxahachie.
Well, no. Yeah, that's true.
We'll have to find out what Anurag thinks about.
I'm a Waxahachie loyalist, and it burns me because I think she's so far superior.
I don't know if she's superior.
I don't think she is
You definitely would have to say snail mail. There was a period of this year where she was overappreciated.
She hit it big. There was like a New York Times article.
New York Times and The Guardian and blah, blah, blah. It's like,
I'd feel a lot better.
Okay, just I really like that album, but like, seriously?
Get my girl Kate Crutchfield the same because she deserves it. Then I'll be fine.
We're going to have to hear what Anurag thinks
about
this.
What about Allison?
Allison, I was 50-50 on her album.
So you're bigger on Katie than Allison?
Oh, by far, okay. Yes.
Well, we need to hear from Anurag on this dispute. Chris, what's
this? I literally have zero respect for your musical opinion now.
Yeah, that's...
I thought I had like a tiny bit.
Yeah, what about that swearing?
We've only been doing this for 10 years, so you just now realize that?
Were you not into the swearing album? Did you listen to that?
No.
That's an Allison album. Allison doing power pop. You should listen to that.
Okay.
Add that to your list.
Done and done.
All right. Number 2,
I'm
going
to give Chris a pat on the back. Kidding in there. Yeah, here. Put the microphone up there. Just kidding, you, man. All right.
I feel so much better now.
All right. Chris, number 2.
I just canceled my plans to
kill
fire,
me?
Yeah, fire my car up in the garage.
No.
And end it all.
Kill yourself. Okay, that's still pretty bad, but not as bad.
All right. Second album of the year is a guy that I mentioned earlier. mm-hmm. Who we just saw recently. And I'm sure his albums have been on my list in the past few years. He's got a song that makes me cry every time. I like him especially because his voice is just like really weary. And yet he has some upbeat songs, but he just kind of has this kind of whole feel about him where he's just kind of worn down and, you know, he's got all this stuff going on and it just feels like he has to be singing and writing songs. Otherwise, he'd probably just go crazy. So the artist, of course, is Phosphorescent. The new album is C'est la vie. And the song that I picked is called, it's more of an upbeat one. It's called Around the Horn.
Phosphorescent.
It's just so catchy and like everything just like wired right into like my, you know, soul. It's like, I think I've talked about this before, like there's like a song that's like sort of like the internal, you know, manifestation of who you are. It's yeah. like that, you know?
Yeah, that is Matthew Houck of mm-hmm. Alabama. He's an Alabaman. And I talked about Kansas City earlier. How many
yeah.
rock stars from Alabama are there?
Yeah.
That's true.
But yeah, his voice is just like a soft blanket. Mm-hmm. It's just so comforting.
Like a horse blanket.
It's like a horse blanket, absolutely.
Just like the whiskey, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. God, that totally ties
Rung
in.
Out like a horse blanket. And yeah, I mean, you're totally right. It's just, I mean, I've heard it kind of derided as dad rock. And it's true. He did have a child recently, and maybe this is kind of his dad album, but... God, I just love it, and yeah. You know, it is kind of where I am, so it's I
right.
It's great.
And like, yeah, there's another somebody else that put out an album recently that I shouldn't even bring it up because I can't remember what the artist was, but it doesn't even matter. It was somebody that's a little bit older, maybe even our age. Oh, you know what? It was Jeff Tweedy.
Yeah.
So I was like, what are the yeah. lyrics? Whatever the lyrics are going to be, it's like if it's worth paying attention to what any stupid ass 20-year-old, 25-year-old from Brooklyn thinks about life and that they want to write down and deliver these ideas to you,
mm-hmm.
if there's a single one that's worth a minute of your time, wouldn't everything that Jeff Tweedy says, being, you know, that much more experienced in life and having gone through problems and parenthood and blah, 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 and depression and like... I don't know. I think that the lyrics on something like that would be unbelievably, you know, enlightening.
Yeah,
or,
if you sign up to be a fan of an artist, I mean, you can drop in on one album and then drop out. But if you're a continuous fan, and I have been of Phosphorescent for a long time now, you kind of sign up for their life journey as well. Kind of whatever they have to say, how they change throughout
right.
the years, and you know, you sign up for all of that and. You know, I love kind of where he is right now
yeah.
as much as I have in the past.
So our main point here is power to the aging rockers.
Absolutely. This is
power to the aging rockers. Absolutely. especially where I think, to me, lyrics come in.
Can we add this? Power to the aging podcasters.
I think his next show, Phosphorescent, is going to mention us.
You'd think so.
Like, I like where these guys are right now. I kind of like the cut of their jib.
Right. All right. Very cool.
Something
All right.
That might have been said in 1916, by the way.
I think it's important to go to my number two now. Yeah. Do you think my number two would be important right now?
Yes.
No, let's just go right to my number one. I actually did a Survey Monkey.
Okay, so
Survey Monkey recently, the update of who is winning. 99% say that I'm winning.
Really?
Yeah. The other 1% is like,
yeah, me. Yeah. And Chris is like 0.027%. All right.
There's the phantom thread that killed me.
My number one and two, I'm going to say, and we talked about how there's a bit of context, right, that influences how you evaluate things. So my number one through seven were really close. And it may not be an accident that one and two I listened to on a ferry boat in Scotland. And that kind of, you know, you're in a special place, a special time, and I think music, maybe, you know how you're in a place where you're just more absorbing of music, right?
Totally. Sure.
And so these are two albums that I listened to at that time and loved them and for different reasons. And so my number two is, and again, somewhat aging rockers, the Rockateens from Georgia. I didn't know anything about them. Two decades ago when they put out one or two albums and, you know, people, at least in that part of the country, knew about them. And so then, you know, they got a little bit older and they put out an album this year called Sixth House. And I think it's really good. And the singer has a lot of passion in his voice. And they clearly put a lot of effort into these songs. And it's... These guys have a thing going on here.
No.
I was just chugging, right out of the, just chugging the rest of the whiskey.
Okay. And wow. I love it. It's called, I said that already, Sixth House. I'm going to play a track called Turn and Smile.
Been through the trees again as we made our way down to the lake. Oh, we left the car out at the Anson Gate. Yeah, we took off the Tennessee plates. Yeah, we took all that we could take. Now we lit it like a birthday cake. And we look back, she just turned.
Rockateens.
That was one of my favorite songs of the year. I think it's just perfect. It's a perfect song. Could not be better.
Can't disagree.
The lyrics are super cool. You know, it's just got, he's got kind of a, I don't know, it's like short little phrases and stuff, and it's all super catchy.
I believe there's isn't there like a kids band called the A-Teens who sing like... popular songs with little kids?
I don't know.
So I got confused about the Rock A-Teens.
I think maybe you're thinking of something different. But
I think you need little kids to know this, but yeah.
Go on. There are asterisks in there between the words. Rockateens.
Yeah. So it's not.
Yeah, I just love it. You know, again, power to the aging rockers. I mean, I don't think they're quite as old as us, but might be as old as Chris. Yeah, and you know, they're not. I guess here's the point, right? They're not 22 where they've got a whole bunch of peers, you know, that are all going to go to their shows and stuff. And you know, they're a little older, and they just make a great album. And so we're recognizing it. So there you go.
Yeah. I think it's great. That easily could have been on my top 10. Trying to look up the lyrics real quick. They're so clever, but
podcasting
whatever.
Magic right here.
Cut this out. But
I guess we'll cut it out.
All right, cut it out. Too bad. It was going to be gold.
Who's up next, Barrett?
Okay, Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's number one? Hold on a second here.
Hold on a second. Let me open the door while Will goes.
We got to play this.
Oh, recorded. Nicholas
did the drum roll. I don't need to do it. I did it before, didn't I? I went downstairs.
You have done it a few times.
Yeah. No, Nicholas did it for us. So yeah. There you go. Yeah. Cool. Barrett goes first.
Here
number
we go.
One. Right.
Well, my number one, I think I had this as my number one a couple of years ago. Mitski.
I think you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this year her album's called Be the Cowboy, and just immediately loved it. She played at Colectivo just like Stephen Malkmus did this year. One of those instant sellouts, and by the time you hear about it, it's too late, blah, blah, blah.
She's gotten pretty big, and her live show is really acclaimed. And
okay, I haven't read anything about that.
Yeah,
I was driving home one time from wherever. I was on a pretty long trip, and you're in the middle of nowhere, so you're like listening to a top 40 station or something, and they were playing a bunch of stuff I'd never heard. I was only on the station for a brief period, and then they played a Mitski song. I was like, I think that she's bigger than we know. I think she's got some mainstream success. Not a lot, but a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Like that Avett Brothers success?
Yeah.
Does that mean she's playing at Bree Stevens Field next summer?
Could be.
She probably could, actually.
That'd be a fun one, actually.
Yeah,
I think I'd go
good.
To that, yeah.
So anyway, the song I picked is a super sad way to end my top 10 list. It's two slow dancers, and I don't know. It's a beautiful song. It's also just a heartbreaking song. And maybe I said one of these other songs that I played was my favorite song of the year. I hope I didn't, because that would be untrue. Because this is my favorite song of the year on my favorite album of the year. Two Slow Dancers.
Does it smell like a school gymnasium in here? It's funny how they're all the same. It's funny how you always remember, and we've both done it all 100 times. It's funny how I still forgot. It would be 100 times easier if we were young again. But as it is, and it is, just two slow dancers, last ones out. We're two slow dancers, last ones out.
Okay, so like, if you haven't heard the song before, you're like, that's your favorite song? that's pretty lame. But I know we can only play the songs for a short period because we have to keep this podcast to a tight 3 hours. But, but right after, just after this, so it's about like, okay, so it's a like a class reunion, and you have these two old people who knows how old they are, but you, I imagine them to be way older than me even. And they're in the gymnasium. And I know, right? Yeah. But they're not quite yet. Gymnasium, they're dancing, two slow dancers. So the last one's there, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm almost going to start to cry about the emotion I feel about the song.
It's all right.
You know, at the end, there's this emotion, this crescendo that she sings, like, to think that we could stay the same. And she repeats it several times, and it's just heartbreaking. And it's like, holy shit. I don't know. To me, like, I don't know. I remember like going to the store one time and the song's playing. I'm like, I'm just going to sit in here. I don't know. I wasn't like literally crying, like, yeah, but I was like getting, you know, really emotional. Like, fuck, you know, that's my favorite song of the year. I win.
I'm glad you've declared yourself the champion.
Yeah, that's good.
I felt that same way about her last album, about Your Best American Girl.
Yeah, totally.
When I watched the video for that song and when I listened to it, I got really like worked up and teared up and
totally. Yeah.
Like how could I not be good enough for you? Like, you know, just kind of.
Isn't that? I mean, when music can do that, music can do a lot of things. It can make you like pumped up to like. Lift weights. That's kind of a lower.
I've never experienced that in my life.
Lower forms of music, or it can make you like want to run. Yeah. Like if you're before a 5K, like you know, Eye of the Tiger, make it, get you going or whatever. Other songs can just like make you so emotional. So music is like crazy. I know a lot of people like visual art. Like you can go to a museum. Like the Chicago Institute of Art and look at a painting and one will make you cry, one will make you really excited. I like to look at art, but it doesn't have that effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You're kind of on a roll right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. It totally is.
It's like when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
Music is better. Music is better than visual art. Yeah. It just is. I mean, sorry.
All right. Well, now that that's settled, we'll get to my...
Chris, what's the best album of 2018?
I feel like my thunder has been stolen on this one.
Yeah, a little bit, but not totally, no.
Yeah, a perfect album from beginning to end. It's obviously in my wheelhouse. If you listen to this podcast, like the two times a year that I'm actually on,
yeah,
I am a sucker for the girl bands, power pop bands. And for me this year, that is The Beths from New Zealand. So they are probably... Hobbits is my guess. I believe they filmed that all in New Zealand. And so it's, I mean, a perfectly impossibly catchy album. It's got just enough extra touches for me to be not entirely cookie cutter. As I said to Barrett before, it's obviously within a genre, but I think you can be great within a genre. I mean, you know, Miles Davis's Bitches Brew is, you know, obviously jazz, but it's brilliant within the jazz genre.
Right.
I don't know that this is that, but it's my favorite album of the year. I listened to it over and over and over again and never got sick of it. And so the album, of course, is Future Me Hates Me. It's The Beths, and the song that I picked is called Uptown Girl.
And this is not the Billy Joel song about Christie Brinkley, right?
I'm pretty sure it's not.
No, this one's better.
All right.
I'm looking for closure.
All right, so now that I've been declared the winner, I think I can probably just leave, right?
Yeah, you can just take off.
All right, I'll see you guys.
So if I agree, will you leave? Is that like the deal? Okay, you win.
If we were going to try to play the game of sell Baird on this album, I think that one really simple factor that distinguishes this within the genre is the backing vocals. Like, this album has tons of great backing vocals throughout it.
All right, that's a good point.
It makes me think, do they do it live? Do they do all those great backing vocals live?
I don't even know how many people are in the band. Can they afford to have people?
It's like either three or four. I think it's four.
Whole choir of people?
Yeah, I don't know. But that's one of their strengths. And I love it too.
That's a good way to get me to listen to it.
If you like albums that are good, you should listen to this album. Yeah, let's put it that way.
I do.
Do you like good albums?
Yeah.
Well, I would recommend this one to you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there you go.
So this is, do you think we have a theme? I think we have a theme. I know I have a theme that albums that are really consistent, that pretty much you go through the entire album and you like pretty much everything on the album, those are going to get, they're going to score more points in our minds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got, where I gave the Ott album as an example, I just absolutely love the five tracks and the four I'm not so sure about. But this album is really consistent. There's not really a bad track on the album. So you go through the whole thing and you're like, yeah, that's solid. That's deserving of the top 10.
This is the ongoing debate on many music podcasts, whether do you take an album's high points and grade it on the high points or on the consistency all the way through?
Right. And I think I have a little bit of a bias toward the consistency.
As do I, think.
Yeah.
I think I'm
for
with
sure.
You.
I do give it like a, so.
So, all right. There's a little clue to the inner workings of how we operate here.
Yeah.
We're down to the last one, aren't
here
we?
Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. So I talked about how Rolling Blackout's Coastal Fever had kind of a swagger. My number one I picked out of all the things that I picked, and I think I like the swagger of this band. It's Bodega. And they just come out and they're like, we're going to do this with a lot of confidence. And I really like this album a lot. And obviously, it's my number one. And it didn't hurt that I listened to it on a ferry in Scotland, but it's still deserving. For sure. Endless Scroll is the name of the album.
Where is Bodega from?
They're a indie rock stardom Brooklyn kind of band, I believe.
Very nice.
So I was in Scotland on this ferry, and Craig, I think, sent us a thing about Bodega. And I was listening to it, and I was like, I just love this album. It's great. So the track I picked is called Jack in Titanic. There you go. Bodega.
Bodega. And that wraps up the extravaganza.
Yeah, you know, and the song is Jack and Titanic. I was just thinking about the Titanic, which sunk in 1912, which is 4 years before 1916.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it was 3 years before the Lusitania, which is referenced in the new book, 1916, the blog. But I digress. Anyway, I like that song very much. I like Bodega.
Yeah, they're cool. Cool band. Consistent album. I wouldn't have picked it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, actual Jack and Titanic makes a reference to Lake Wasoda in Wisconsin. Are you aware of this in the movie?
Oh, no.
Leo DiCaprio's character,
Jack. He's supposed to be from Chippewa Falls.
Yeah, he's supposed to be from Chippewa Falls. He says, like, my brother and I used to boat on Lake Wasoda. However, Lake Wasoda is a man-made lake, and it was made after 1912. So that is a historical...
Boy, I don't know how you guys remember that kind of thing.
But yeah, I remember when I was watching the movie on the first day it was out, I saw that, and I just yelled out, like, I was just pissed off.
You're like, this is so bullshit. Obviously. You just threw your popcorn at the screen and ran out of the movie.
Everybody knew that.
You know,
how can you even watch the rest of the movie?
I'm just going to say again, it's been a great year. Every year seems to be a great year.
Yeah.
And music is good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Music is good.
I'll be honest. Normally, in a lot of years, I have 30 albums I would want to put on here. I kind of scrape by to get my 10, but I'm very happy with what I have this year.
Yeah, you did a pretty okay job.
Yeah, very respectable.
Will did pretty good job too. I did a really super good job.
Yeah.
You know what I appreciate?
I'd love to know.
Not only these albums, but also the friendship of my fellow podcasters, which is the people here, the ones that are not here. Some of whom I'll meet for the first time.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the ones who died.
No. Think we're all alive.
Okay, good. As far as
some
we know.
Some of them I'll meet for the first time in Austin in March. That'll be fun.
David. It was only, what, we were probably 2 or 3 years into the podcast when Nicholas finally told us what this podcast is really about.
It's about friendship.
Yeah, so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deep stuff right there.
Yeah.
It is.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I really, well, I'll let you guys.
Is our friend from Taiwan coming too?
I don't think so.
Sherry, yeah.
We need to reach out to Sherry again. Or.
As long as she doesn't try to come through in the caravan, we'll get her into the U.S.
That'd be a problem.
Right. I think another person maybe to have on would be someone that contacted us in relation to Sherry. Which was Ginger. Remember her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's written a couple of really heartfelt letters.
Right.
A lot of you have, and they've been, I can't even tell you what that means.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope for the coming year we have even more contact with correspondents and people who have been in touch with us. It's been great.
If you care about the podcast, even a tiny bit, send it a little note along, not to spend a long time preparing.
We are not a corporation. We are just three dudes.
We're just three dudes.
For fun.
Yep.
Tell you what, like Will gets one of these emails that somebody's like, hey, I listened to your show and I like it. And they say nice things. Sends it to all the correspondents. And like every one of us has a nice day because of that.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's really, really nice. So what do you guys have to say?
Well, now you're just fishing for compliments.
I'm not saying what do you have to say about me? What do you have to say about 2018. What
kind of year it's been great, right? We've had a lot of contact with the listeners.
Yeah,
and so not only do we just love it when we get input from people, but we're actually a little sad when we get negative comments too. Remember the guy that hated the death of the week?
You know, that guy. Yeah,
it was kind of like we were kind of like okay.
He went after him. It wasn't general. It was after me in specific.
Yeah, Tom Petty thing? Like he didn't like it that we played the jingle for Tom Petty or something.
The jingle might have been part of what he objected to. More than that, I think he objected to my flippant attitude about Tom Petty in general.
No, it's okay.
You know, and it's like
I mean, Chris has a flippant attitude about the National, and we let him get away with that.
But they are alive, and...
That's true.
You guys have been privy to some of the hate mail that I get as a National columnist.
Yeah, no, it's nothing. It's nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing.
And it's, you know, even if somebody has something negative, and he actually also couched that in lots of positive things.
You remember Green Bay Packers tight end Bubba Franks?
Yes, I do. Number 88 yes. from Miami.
When he scored a touchdown, he would do a dance that he called, quote, shaking off the haters.
Wow.
Bubba Franks dance.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So every time I get a hate email, I just shake off the haters, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Got to shake them off.
Got to do it.
Now, you have to believe the people that love you. Those are the real people you need to believe. Okay. The haters, they're always there.
I suppose.
The people who love you are the Will's Band of the Week podcast.
We've kind of become like a worldwide co-op for podcasts. Like, if you like our podcast and you want to be on it, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't even have to buy a membership card or anything. You don't have to follow us on Twitter. You just show up like, you're on the podcast.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of our listeners, Jeremiah, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't even want to be on the podcast. He just wants to hang out with us.
Yeah.
You poor guy.
I can't wait. We're gonna have a fun time in Austin. Chris, you and I are staying at an Airbnb with this man we've never met or talked to before.
I think the Beths are coming.
What are we doing?
To South by Southwest.
They're gonna be at South by Southwest? All right.
Yeah.
I'm in.
And the Chills, right? Yeah. And, well, all kinds of stuff. It's going to be good. Mm-hmm. By the way, Barrett's wearing Green Bay Packers socks.
I'm wearing my Packers socks. That's what you call laundry day.
Just kind of brave right now, given the current status of the Packers.
They fired their coach, right?
Right.
Chris has a Green Bay Packer colored microphone.
That didn't cross my mind.
Yeah.
I think we all need to think back upon 2018 and that being the year that I wrote a book and that you should all buy it.
Yeah, everybody should buy Chris's book.
Yeah.
Do it. Everybody buy Chris's book. All right, maybe it's time to finally sign off.
Yes. And please post a photo on this list of the bottle of scotch that we completely killed.
Also take a photo.
There isn't a drop left.
There is about a drop left.
Okay.
I want to see you swig that.
We're going to fight over
it. Will's going to swig it.
It's a drop.
Come on, pop that cork.
Go.
Here he goes.
Go.
There it goes.
There it is. Nice.
That's it. Now it's done.
Done.
It's gone.
All right.
All right. So we have more end of year list podcasts. I'm excited. I want to hear Craig's list. I want to hear Nicholas's list.
Craig's list.
Yeah. On Rocks, David's, Grant's.
That'd be a good name for our website, wouldn't it?
I think you now owe the Craigslist website $1 million.
I just said Craigslist.
Yes. Yeah.
Barrett is
natural sponsorship. Craigslist sponsored by Craigslist.
Is Wilson doing a list this year?
You know what? I asked him about it, and he's like, I didn't really listen to a lot of new music, and I actually knew that.
Hmm.
He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a top 10 of 1968.
That'd be cool.
So he's going to do that if he's okay.
Yeah, Grant wasn't sure he did the 80s, and he did a current one. He's like, I don't know. So, all right, good. Is there any way anybody listened to this whole thing?
Absolutely not.
There's no way.
Of course,
no chance.
This is one of those where we should give, like, you get $1,000 if you get the code right now, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no way. All right. If you did, I want to say thank you very much. It's been a great year. Thank you, you guys. Thank you to the correspondents. Thank you to listeners, everybody. It's been great. And we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.